Well, if you grew up going to church pretty regularly as a kid, I don't know how or when it happened, but if you grew up going to church pretty regularly, you learned, and if you're not a church person, you didn't grow up that way, then this is going to help you understand some of us a little better. But if you grew up going to church pretty regularly, then at some point, somehow, you learned or you became judgmental. I mean, it just happens. We just do. And I think part of the reason may be because we figure out all the rules that we're supposed to follow, and there are three or four that we really struggle with, and they're like 12 or 13, whatever, that everybody else around us seems to struggle with. And what we tend to do is we tend to ignore the three or four that we really struggle with, and we lock in like crazy on the 12 or more that the people around us seem to lock in. And we say, oh, can you believe? Can you believe? Did you hear? Did you hear about what they're doing? Did you see what they're doing? I can't believe it. Wow, look at that. Man, that is so messed up. And we just fall into that. And somehow, over time, it just kind of accidentally happens that we become judgmental. Now, if you're not a church person, then you may be going, oh, finally, some church people that understand what I feel. Because it may be that that's kind of the reason why, you kind of quit going to church, is because you felt like you were being judged. Or maybe when you come to church now, you kind of feel like you're being judged. You feel like, if they really knew what's going on in my life, all things I'm involved, they would judge me. And, some of our judgmentalism is really, kind of harmless. We constantly are forming opinions about people. We see somebody and we form opinions about them. We have these little conversations in our head. And thankfully, everything that is in our mind doesn't come out of our mouth. But we have these goofy little conversations like, most people can't really wear that color at all. But, so she kind of pulls that off. And it's really not that harmless. But we get into it. But then there's other forms of judgmentalism that we fall into. They can be very, very harmful. And some of you may have been actually the victims of that. Maybe you struggled in school and in a class, and a teacher was frustrated one day, and they looked at you and they just said, you are just so dumb. And that stuck. Or maybe you were goofing off with some friends, and a teacher was tired, and they said, you're just a troublemaker. And you had a label that was stamped on you. And it may be that that label, it just stuck with you for years. And for years, you've struggled under that label. And then there are times where we think our judgment is true. I mean, we think that when we see somebody doing certain things, we go, man, that is wrong. Or we see someone dragging others down a bad path, and this kind of self-righteous little thing starts rising up inside of us, and we go, somebody needs to talk to them. Something needs to be done about that. And somebody needs to confront that person right there. So some of our judgmentalism is harmless. Some of it's very harmful. Some of it, we think, it's another thing, but we at least think that it's very necessary. But what's so interesting as we fall into this judgmentalism is that in the back of our minds the whole time that we are we're judging others, or we're forming these opinions about others, there's almost always this little voice that's going, you shouldn't be judging, don't judge, you shouldn't judge others. Don't judge others. In fact, it may be that at some point, somebody walked up to you and said, the Bible says you shouldn't judge, don't judge. Or somebody said, Jesus says, don't judge others. And so there's kind of this dilemma inside of us, because, on the one hand, we see people and we form opinions about them, and it's almost automatic for some of us. And then on the other hand, we have this little voice inside this recording. It's kind of going off, don't judge. In fact, some of you, and you're falling into some of that right now. And you're sitting there and you're forming opinions about me. Okay? And you're going, I don't know about that, what he just said. I'm not sure about that. And I'm not sure. And you're going on, you're judging me. And now you feel a little embarrassed because you've been caught. but we do that. Or maybe you're a parent and your daughter brought a guy home and you met this guy and everything, and after he left, you called your daughter into the living room and you set her down. And you said, he is not the one for you. And you blah, 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 and you went on and on and on. And she's going, Dad, you are just so judgmental. You're blankety blank right, I'm judgmental. I mean, that guy's a jerk, and I can see right through him, and I'll hear all the reasons. I'm your daddy, and I know these things. And all this, and then you walk away, and you go, oh, I shouldn't have said that. You know, oh, I shouldn't be judgmental. I shouldn't judge others. I just shouldn't be doing that. And we fall into it. And then, you know, we've been on the other end of that. We've been judged. We've been judged based on what we wear. We're judged on how well off we look. We're judged on who we hang out with, the friends we hang out with. We're judged by our boyfriend, our girlfriend, by the tattoos that we have or the lack of tattoos. We feel judged by a lot of times by people. It's like people look at us, and there's this little scan thing that they do, and it's like, zit, zit, judged. And we feel it, zit, zit. Judged. And they don't even have to say anything a lot of times. And we feel judged. Maybe as a parent, you feel judged. Your mother-in-law, you know, comes over to the house and she's kind of hints, you know, maybe you ought to try this with the kids. And you know what's going on. I mean, you know, she's judging you. She's judging you, and you feel that. Or maybe somebody comes up to you and then they want to talk to you. And they tell you, you know, they've got your best interests at heart. And you get into the conversation and you're not very far into it. And you realize they don't have your best interests at heart. At all. And they've come up with some verse from the Bible, and they're just wanting you to be like them. But you know, here's what's interesting and kind of weird about this whole judging and being judgmental thing and all that, is that when we judge people or when we're judged ourselves, we never say, you know, you made me feel so small. When you judge me, you made me feel so small and so little and so guilty. I want to change. You know, because I was just, I want to be a better person. I want to be like you. You never say it, because that's not what judging does. Judging doesn't change anyone. Judging doesn't make a person want to become a better person. Certainly doesn't make anybody want to become like us, like you. I mean, in fact, the exact odd, people want to run the opposite direction. But we've all been there. We've all been on both sides. We've all been judged. We've all judged at times. You know, can you believe, whoa, did you see that? What about that? You know, and we'll even judge people through our prayer requests. You know, pray for them, they're really struggling. we're just judging them. Well, Scripture addresses this issue of judging and being judgmental very directly. But it's kind of, the whole issue is kind of confusing to a lot of us, because on the one hand, we form these opinions of people in our mind. On the other hand, we hear this voice says you shouldn't judge, and there are times where we realize that, man, that some people, they need to be confronted, and there are times in our own life where many of us have had at critical times, key times in our life, where someone approached us and they talked to us and they confronted us about something that was going on in our life. And the truth is, some of us are so, we look back on that, and some of us are so, so grateful that somebody did that. But we think, man, if I were to walk up to somebody and I were to do that, if I were to walk up and try to say something to them, you know what they do? They go, yo, who died and left you in charge of the universe. You know, why, you think you're God or something? Well, this is none of your business. You know, deal with your own stuff. Don't mess with me. But here's why this is so, so important. Because if we don't get this right, it can create so many deep problems in relationships. It can be so destructive in our marriages. It can be so destructive in our parent-child relationships. It can be so destructive in our friendships. And so Jesus comes along and he speaks straight into the confusion of being judgmental and being judged. And so if you have your Bible, what I'd like for you to do is I'd like for you to turn to Matthew chapter 7. In your Bible. Matthew is one of the accounts, we call it a gospel, which gospel means good news. It's one of the accounts, the four accounts we have of the life of Jesus. You've got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew is the first one in the New Testament. So Matthew chapter 7 is where we're going to begin. And if you're here today and you're coming back to church, because maybe you drifted away or you dropped out from church years ago because you felt that you were judged. I just want to apologize to you. Because chances are, if as Christians we had gotten this right, you would have never drifted away from God. So I'm really sorry. And I hope that you'll cut us some slack because you've probably judged us in the same way that we've judged you. But we really want to try to get this right. So I'm glad that you're here. As we talk about it, we want to look specifically at what Jesus himself said about this. So Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 1, look at what Jesus said. We're going to throw it right up here on the screen. This is what Jesus said. He said, do not judge. So there it is, okay? It's just the first part of a sentence. It's an incomplete sentence, but it's there, right? Now, if that's all it said, you know, we could spend our whole time having a discussion on what that little statement right there means. But that's just the beginning of a sentence. It goes on. So, and Jesus says, do not judge, which basically means to condemn someone based on your own opinion. So he says, do not judge, or, look at this, you too will be judged. My question is, we'll be judged by who? By God? Maybe. By the people we've judged? Maybe. It doesn't answer. Jesus doesn't answer that question because that's not really his point. Jesus is saying, this is what you need to know. This is what he's getting at right here. This is what you need to know. If you set yourself up to judge others, it's going to come back your direction. You set yourself up to judge others, it's going to come back on you. And then he goes on in verse 2. And he says, he's going to explain what he just said. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. In the same way that you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, or in the amount that you use, with the weight that you use, it will be measured to you. And those of us who are, you know, doing the judging go, but we're right. You know, I mean, she's really messing up. I mean, that's wrong. I mean, somebody needs to talk to him. You know, the Bible says. And Jesus says, I'm just giving you a heads up. That's what Jesus is doing. Jesus is saying, I'm just giving you a warning. Don't judge unless you go into it understanding that the way you judge will be the way that you get judged by others. You see, his point is not don't ever form an opinion about anyone. We're going to see that in just a minute. And his point is not that there aren't people in the world with things in their life that need to be addressed. That's not what he's getting at. What this is right here, this is Jesus' subtle way of saying, I want you to apply the golden rule to your judgment. He's saying, I want you to judge others the way you would want to be judged by them. And this is just so, so powerful right here. So number one, the first thing that we need to do when it comes to this whole judgmental and judging people and all that kind of thing, number one is we need to judge others the way we want to be judged by others. Jesus says, I want you to judge others the way you want to be judged by others. I want you to judge others the way you would want to be judged by your heavenly Father. You see, if you knew that it was coming back on you, how would you judge the people around you? Well, I don't know about you, but I know how I want to be judged. And maybe, you know, maybe this will help you. This is how I would want God to judge me. When God judges me, I want everything, okay? I want everything, you know, to be taken into consideration. Where I was raised, what I had and what I didn't have. I was a shy, quiet, you know, kind of bashful, backward, insecure, you know, kid. I was a middle child. You know, I want all of that. I want everything taken into consideration. I do. Don't you? And if we had a dysfunctional home where we were belittled, where we were put down, where we were abused or just ignored, I mean, I want all of that taken into consideration. If we never really felt like we were loved or we were told that we were dumb, that we would never amount to anything, I don't want that. We would want that taken into consideration. I mean, or if the reason we got into things is because we were like, yeah, and I was pressured by all these friends around me. There were some bullies pressuring me. They were the big kids in my neighborhood. They're the ones that were really pushing me into that. Or, man, I just had a broken heart. My parents, they went through this awful divorce. And I just felt so insecure because all the kids in middle school, I mean, they made fun of me. They told me that I was ugly. They made fun of how I dressed, you know. I got into, you know, alcohol and drugs and all that stuff. But, man, I just wanted to fit in. I mean, I just didn't feel like I belonged anywhere. Or, yeah, you know, I said that. I mean, sure, I did, but... But man, you got to understand the pressure. You got to understand the stress that I was in. I want everything taken into consideration. I mean everything. I mean, don't you? Because if I could talk long enough, I think Jesus is going to come along and he's going to put his arm around me and he's going to grab some little Kleenex and he's going to go, "Oh, Paul, you poor guy. Man, now I see why you were such an idiot. Yo, man, it's no wonder your life was such a mess. Man, you had to deal with so much. It's amazing you came out as good as you did. Welcome to heaven. Everything's okay." Man, I want someone to take everything into consideration. I want God to cut me some slack. And when it comes to the people who judge me, man, I want them to say, you know, there are probably some things that we don't know about. I want to be able to say, you know, there are probably some things that we just haven't factored in. There's probably another side to the story. I mean, let's not be so hard. You know, let's not be so hasty on your poor Paul. You know, we probably don't know the full story, right? So God says, when you judge others, use the golden rule. Judge others the way you would want others to judge you. That's all he's saying here. But then he goes on, and in essence says, let me make this even clearer for you. Let me make it even clearer. He goes on, the next verse, verse 3. And Jesus says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye? Now, that's a question. And it's a question that demands an answer. It's a question that that each of us, when we're finding ourselves kind of moving into this judgmental mode, we see this beginning to churn, these wheels beginning to churn inside us, and we were getting judgmental. We need to answer that question right there. He's saying, why do you even care? Why is it that you care that they have an issue? And you need to answer that. You need to slow down. You need to answer that question. Why do you care? Why is it? Think about it. Why is it that you care so much about what's going on in their life? What is it in you that constantly drives you to form an opinion and judge others? And if we stopped right there today, and all we did was look and deal with that question right there in our lives, this could be a defining moment in your life. I mean, Jesus is brilliant here. And what he does is he refocuses our attention. He says, what is in you? What's in you? What's wrong with you, Paul, that you feel the necessity, that you feel the need to point out the speck in their eye? Maybe there's more to this issue. Maybe there's more to this problem than their problem. What is there in you? Why do you care? Why does their sin make you feel what you feel? Why is it that you're so intent in pointing out the speck of sawdust, this little bitty, eensy-beensy little speck of sawdust in their life? And then it goes on. In verse 3, the rest of the verse, and he says, why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and at the same time pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? In other words, why, Paul, are you so excited? Why, Paul, are you so motivated to look at their problem instead of looking at your own problem, at the plank in your own eye? And you know what my answer, in all honesty, to that question would tend to be? What problem? I don't have a problem. I mean, look at them. They have a problem. I mean, I'm so insightful, and my life and my heart is so pure that I'm able to see their problem even better than they can. Man, I have more clarity about what's going on in their life than they have about their own life, to which I think Jesus would say, no, you don't. You think you do, but you don't. So why are you so interested in the speck of sawdust in their life while you ignore and refuse to deal with a plank in your own eye? I mean, this is transformational if we will allow this to settle in. Here's what he's hinting at. He's going to come back and he's going to hit on this in just a minute. When I see something in you that bothers me, I need to quit looking at you, and I look in the mirror at myself. When I want to judge somebody else and talk about them and write them off, as soon as I feel that bubbling up inside me, that should trigger in me the thought, I wonder what God wants to deal with in my life. I wonder why I'm getting so bent about this. Why am I so adamant about this in someone else's life? And he goes on, Jesus goes on in verse 4, and Jesus says, how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck, this little eensy-beensy, teeny-tiny little speck, let me take that out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank in your own eye? He says, how can you do that? How can you do that? And if your response is, wait a minute, I don't have a plank in my eye. I mean, they're the ones who are involved in major sin and immorality. I mean, they're the ones who are on the path to destruction. And he's saying, in those moments, when you think that you are so convinced that the issue is all theirs and that self-righteousness begins to well up inside of you, and you got a verse of scripture that proves why you're right and they're wrong, in that moment, he's saying, you need to pause. You need to pause. Because whatever you see in them is probably a reflection of something in you. Now, when you hear me say that, if there's something in you that kind of rises up and kind of says, you know, okay, if the point is that we're supposed to ignore, you know, all the sin and unrighteousness and all the injustice in the world, and that it's all my fault, and you know, and just forget it, and that is not where we're going. But what Jesus is saying here, number one, is that we need to judge others the way we want to be judged by others. But then the second thing that we get from this, the second thing that we need to do, number two, is we need to make our first response to look in the mirror at our own issues. We need to make our first response to look in the mirror at our own life. Jesus is saying that our first response, should not be to go after the speck in their eye, but to immediately turn and look in the mirror and say, what is it about them and their issue that is reflected somehow in my life? And then he says something really, really strong. In verse 5, look at the beginning of this verse. Jesus says, you hypocrite. You hypocrite. Now, you know what a hypocrite is in this context? A person who judges someone else without first looking in the mirror. Jesus is saying, he's saying, I'm not denying that there's a problem. I'm not denying that there's a speck in their eye. I'm not denying that something needs to be done. I'm not saying that. He's just saying that our first response needs to be to look in the mirror as opposed to trying to fix them. So Jesus is saying, I'm not saying this. Okay? This is what Jesus is saying right here. If you're not willing to do that, if you're too insecure to do that, if you're too self-righteous to look in the mirror first, Jesus is saying, not me, Jesus is saying, you're a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. If we don't look in the mirror first and deal with our issues, we lose the leverage with people that we need to have. People who maybe they need something addressed in their life, but we lose the leverage that we need to have. And this happens between fathers and sons and mothers and daughters and husbands and wives and bosses and employees. I mean, it happens everywhere. Why should I listen to you, Dad? Why should I listen to you, Mom? Why should I listen to you, honey? Why should I listen to you, brother? I'm not saying I don't have a speck of sawdust in my eye, but my goodness, have you looked in the mirror lately? I mean, you lack the same self-awareness that you accuse me of lacking. When we don't first look in the mirror and deal with our own junk, we drive people deeper into the unhealthy behavior that they've been in. And we drive ourselves deeper into self-righteousness, and nothing good comes out of it. Now look at how Jesus finishes this section up right here. This is so powerful. In verse 5, first part of this verse, just says, you hypocrite, first. Now, why does he say first? Because there's going to be a second. He says, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye. And this is so important. And I'll tell you, in my life, I am still learning this. I mean, I'm learning this in my marriage. I'm learning this in my parenting. I'm learning this as a boss. I'm learning this in my friendships. I am constantly learning this. When something about you irritates me, chances are that I have an issue. Now, that doesn't take away from the fact that someone needs to talk to you or to this other person. But I need to deal with, what it's saying is, I need to deal with me first. I mean, when there's something about you that really drives me crazy, the problem is that I have something in my eye. So Jesus says, you really care about the speck in this other person's eye? Yeah. Did you really think it needs to be addressed? Well, yeah. And Jesus says, okay, well, first, call them? No. Well, first, then write them? No. Well, first, confront them, go to them and tell them what you need? No. First, gossip about them? No. What's first? Look in the mirror. Pull out the mirror before you go to anybody, before you address anything. You're really concerned about somebody else in their life? Jesus says, first, before you do anything else, pull out the mirror and look at your own issues. Look at your own life. Look at the plank in your own eye. And some of us will go, well, what good that is that going to do? I mean, they're the one with a problem, to which I think Jesus would say, I know. But I've got to get someone prepared to help them. Well, I'm prepared. Okay, then look in the mirror. But I don't have the problem that you're aware of. That you're aware of. What Jesus is teaching us is that our first line of response, dads, our first line of response, wives, our first line of response, when we see an issue that needs to be addressed, our first response needs to be to look in the mirror and say, God, what do I see in them that you see in me? What is it in them that's driving me crazy that is actually a part of my own life that I need to deal with in my life? And some of you may be thinking, but Paul, if you only knew what my son is doing, if you only knew what my daughter is doing, if you only knew what my spouse is doing, you would agree that it needs to be addressed. I'm not telling you that it doesn't need to be addressed. That's not what Jesus is saying here. What Jesus is saying is he's giving you a list. He says, first, on the list of things that you need to do first, before you do anything else, first, pull out the mirror and look in the mirror. He's not saying it doesn't need to be addressed. He's saying, first, look in the mirror. Deal with your own stuff. Deal with your own issues. And this is just so awesome. And it goes on, though, the verse does. Second part of verse 5. And then you will see, and what's the word? What is it? And then you will see clearly. Clearly. Well, Jesus, why do we need to see clearly? Because there's a second. And then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Aha! So there is something wrong in their life. Yeah. Jesus doesn't say there isn't a speck. He doesn't say there isn't a sin. He doesn't say that there isn't an issue that needs to be addressed. He's not saying that there isn't some area of the life where maybe they're living in disobedience. He's not saying that. So number 3, the third thing that we need to do is we need to make sure that we've dealt with our junk before we approach anyone else. We need to make sure that we have dealt with our stuff before we approach anyone else. But there are times where others do need to be approached. You see, what Jesus is saying is Jesus is saying, I just want you to be prepared to have a conversation that doesn't push them further into a negative and destructive pattern. And the only way to do that is by first removing the log from your own eye. And then dads and moms, then sisters, brothers, then husbands and wives, then bosses, then and only then will you and I see clearly enough to be able to actually do some good in their lives. You see, when I'm willing to look in the mirror and take the time to deal with my junk, and then and only then approach them, it's at that point, and I'm willing to do it with myself, and I'm willing to pull out the mirror, then God can actually use me to help them with a little speck in their eye. Look back at verse 5 again. Jesus said, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Here's what he's saying. Let me drill down just a little bit on this, and then we're going to finish up here. When I'm tempted to pass judgment on you, when I'm tempted to pass judgment on someone else, what I need to do is I need to stop and look and see if there's a trace of whatever it is that I'm tempted to pass judgment on them, if there's a trace of that in me. That's all it's saying here. In your relationships, in your marriage, in your friendships, in your parenting, before you go and you talk to someone else, you need to pull out the mirror and you need to deal with your own stuff, with your own issues, with your own junk in your life. Before you do anything else, you need to deal with your junk. Because then, once you've dealt with yourself, once you got honest with yourself and you've processed through that, then if there is a need, then you'll be ready. Now, here's another part of the lesson, and we close. If you're the one who's being judged and you find yourself saying, hey, don't judge me. Don't judge me. Don't judge. And the Bible says, don't judge me. If that's you, just take a deep breath here, okay? Because I want to give you what may be a new concept for some of you. Please hear this. Perhaps, this person that's wanting to talk to you, This person that's wanting to go have lunch with you. This person who's wanting to confront you about this little piece of sawdust in your eye. Perhaps they're not really trying to judge you. But perhaps they have been right where you are. Or maybe they've had somebody really close to them in their life who is right where you are right now. And they know. Oh, they know where you're headed. And they just love you and care about you too much to not say anything. And if you keep hiding behind that smoke screen, don't judge me. Don't judge me. Bible says don't judge me. You keep hiding behind that. You may miss out on something that God is wanting to do in your life. You may miss out on an opportunity to grow and to learn. To be able to take hold of a truth that you need in your life, that God wants you to experience, because you're locking in on something that isn't found in Scripture, and you're using it as a shield to block out what somebody's wanting to say that may help you break out of a pattern in your life, that may get you on a better path in life. You see, God wants us to be able to help each other with the specks of sawdust in each other's eye. But before we do that, he's saying before you even consider that first, before you think of, you need to pull out the mirror and you take care of your own issues. You need to deal with your own junk first. And only then will you be ready to possibly help someone else out. So if you find yourself putting up this wall, shielding yourself, saying, don't judge me. Would you be open to allowing someone to speak into your life, to talk to you in as gentle and as loving of a way as they can, to maybe help you break out of maybe an unhealthy pattern that you're in, or a blind spot that you've got in your life that you're just not even aware of? Would you be open to that? And if you're here, and you're someone who, you know, you find yourself slipping towards judgmentalism, and you find that kind of self-righteous thing kind of rising up in you, would you make a commitment today to say, before I judge anyone, before I say anything, do anything to anybody else, I'm going to look at the mirror. I'm going to pull out the mirror. And I'm going to look at my own life and my own issues and my own junk. Would you make a commitment to begin to do that in your life? Just imagine what it would be like to be a part of a group of Christians who are interacting with each other in that way. Before they go to anyone or come up with any statement or say anything about somebody else, they go, whoa, 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 whoa. There must be, if I'm getting so frustrated and upset and this is driving me, there must be something in me that God sees. So what is that? And I'm going to pull out the mirror and I'm going to look at my life and my issues and my junk. And with God's help, I'm going to deal with that. And then, if there's a need, in as loving and as gentle a way as I can, I'm going to walk alongside somebody else and maybe help them out with their speck, but only after I've dealt with my stuff. Can you imagine the healing that could take place in relationships? And the implications relationally are huge. If we determine that we're going to follow ways of Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, thank you that at a critical time in many of our lives, someone had the courage to come in gentleness and love and speak into our lives. And because of that little confrontation that was done in love, some of us look back And we're just able to go, wow, it just changed me. God, you used that person in my life to get me in a new path, to help me break out of an unhealthy pattern in my life. So God, my prayer is that we would be open to somebody in gentleness and love coming and talking to us, and that we wouldn't put up a shield to block people out. But God, if we're here and we've gotten this all wrong so many times in our life, I pray that today, right now, that we would commit in our hearts that before we go to anyone else, before we let this get so big inside of us, that we're going to look in the mirror, we're going to deal with our own issues and our own junk. And with your help, we're going to find healing and wholeness. And God, I pray that then, once our hearts and our lives are right, that we would be there to help each other with little specks of sawdust in each other's eyes. God, my prayer is that we would follow the ways of Jesus. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.